Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So normally on a football Friday, we have our ready to go song and we get jacked up, right? And I'm like, it's a Wednesday, but it's kind of like a Friday today before a game, last show before a game. So I said to Joe, hit me up some Iron Maiden, pal. Here we go. This is the Trooper, right? Right? So we got Iron Maiden in the background. There we go. All right. Thank you. So he did that. I got my Iron Mafia shirt on here. So, I mean, I'm rocking Eddie. Eddie's the, I guess what you call it, the skeleton, basically, that kind of the representative, the mascot of Iron Maiden, who, by the way, was also the inspiration for, believe it or not, the Poltergeist ghost. If you watch the movie Poltergeist, which probably way before your time, Joe Calley, you've never seen Poltergeist, have you?
I have not, no.
You need to see Poltergeist. It's actually a pretty scary movie.
Okay.
But it's a good scary movie.
You know, coming up on that time of year, so.
Yeah, you need to watch that, Poltergeist. And it's about a family that lives... They bought a house, and the house they didn't realize was built over an old cemetery. And there's poltergeist, which is basically means like extra beings, you know what I mean, and
yeah.
Ghosts. And things happen in the house, obviously. And then there's a scene where this really big monster skeleton-looking thing like shows up. That's Eddie from Iron Maiden.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, he was like, he's the inspiration for that. At least that's what I heard when I was younger. I'm talking over a lot of people's heads right now, but some of you are like, yeah, Maiden, Bruce Dickinson, baby, let's go. And right now, I mean, you got everything right now going on, right?
Yeah.
And some people have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Some people are like, let's go, baby, iron's up. Look it up. Good morning. Can you tell I'm jacked up? I'm ready. It is a Wednesday that we're treating like a Friday here. On a Buffalo Football Friday. I have no idea if I'm even supposed to tell you like all the sponsors for Buffalo Football Friday. We'll do that on Friday. But I do know that we will have Sean McDermott here and his sponsors will tell you and bring you his radio appearance when he shows up here on the phone line in a little while from now. Sean McDermott scheduled for his normal Friday appearance here on a Wednesday morning on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. And of course, a lot of eyes, a lot of ears on Matt Milano. His status for tomorrow night's game. So basically yesterday, and it really doesn't matter what was said yesterday. What matters is what's going to be said today by Sean McDermott. But yesterday, just for some background, McDermott did not rule Matt Milano out even for this week practicing today. So we will find out, which is great, great, encouraging news, at least in the moment there, because... is a pec injury, and that could be very severe, or it could be something that, you know, you could come back from pretty quickly, depending on the severity of it. And considering Matt Milano's had some soft tissue injuries over the last few years, and of course, last year with the bicep, he did have a pec injury a couple years ago, missing some time. Matt Milano's off to a great start. He was playing great in that Jets game, too. He played the whole first half, didn't come out in the second half, and then we find out afterwards he had a pec injury, so they kind of shut him down, and now they're moving on to this week, and we'll see. So that's number one on the injury update front that we'll ask Sean McDermott about. Number two would be, of course, Ed Oliver, which I don't expect him to play. It seems like that's more of a multi-week injury. He did not practice yesterday, not expecting anything this week, but we'll get more of an official word there. And then, of course, your nickel corner situation. with Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, his backup, and even Jordan Hancock, who could make his NFL debut this week. We'll see if he's active. We'll see if he's available to play. There's two parts to this. I mean, he could be available to play, but not active. Health-wise available, but the Bills may look at the numbers and go, where are we putting him? We're just going to make him inactive. So that might depend on what they have with Taron Johnson, what they have with Cam Lewis, two nickel corners now. Jordan Hancock's really been primarily working more at safety, but he can play nickel. And as this team continues to progress on and hopefully not have major injuries, yes, you're going to lose some guys here or there because that's football. They can continue to develop and have guys ready to go who are mid-round picks, young players, guys they've developed over a year or so. And that would include Jordan Hancock in this scenario. The Bills take on the Dolphins tomorrow at Highmark Stadium. In case you haven't heard, it's Thursday Night Football here in Buffalo. Bills-Dolphins tomorrow. And folks, I mean, this is it. This is the last time the hated, and I say that in a very competitive, sportsy sense, okay? The hated Miami Dolphins, from a Buffalo Bills fan standpoint, come to town and in this stadium, excuse me. This is it. Miami Dolphins, last chance, last time in this stadium. So today, after Sean McDermott is done, which hopefully we'll get him in about a few more minutes here, I would like to take your phone calls on Dolphins Bills memories inside this stadium. Maybe a moment, maybe a game, maybe a season, whatever it is. I mean, games, I guess, right? The specific games, but it could be going to the game, what it meant to you, seeing the Dolphins, growing up, knowing what they meant to you. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to have a history lesson. Every year I give a bit of a history lesson on the Miami Dolphins coming to town to take on the Bills and what it means and to why people like me of my generation, my age, grew up as this being the team that we did not like in Buffalo. For many of you, it's the New England Patriots. Totally get it. And for the exact same reason, for many of us growing up in the 1980s, 1970s maybe, if you're a little older than me, it was the Miami Dolphins. So I'll go through that and that history lesson. Because it matters. It matters to Buffalo. It matters to Western New York. It matters to Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Steve Tasker. Go ask them. They'll tell you. This game, this opponent, it matters. And I'm going to say it matters more this year because it's the final time. You can't let the Miami Dolphins come to Buffalo and play in this stadium in their last game and win. So that's why it's important tomorrow from that sense. And of course, it's also important from a sense of, folks, the Bills can really start to put some distance between themselves and the rest of the AFC East, obviously Miami first and foremost. But the way this season is shaping up, the way this season looks right now, with what's in front of the Buffalo Bills this week and beyond, my bold prediction, which might not have been so bold, but my bold prediction in any medium that I went on recently, through the offseason, I should say, was the Bills are getting the one seed this year. Because I thought the schedule really set up favorably for them. They're four quote-unquote toughest games. We know that as the season goes on, there are tougher games and there's ebbs and flows of how teams are, right? They're quote-unquote toughest games, toughest opponents. At home, all at home. Meaning Ravens, they beat them already. Bengals, no Joe Burrow now. Chiefs, they're 0-2. Eagles, at the end of the year. There are tough road games, yes. There's going to be. I think Atlanta's going to be a tough road game, the way they're looking right now. But that's beside the point. The point I'm making is the way the schedule set up initially even. Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles, even without knowing any of the information we have now, it was already going to be set up for the Buffalo Bills to have a really good look at it if they play the way they're supposed to play. And now that you're already 1-0 on the Ravens. And the Chiefs are 0-2. And the Bengals have lost Burrow. And even if you want to go further than that, the Houston Texans, for example, 0-2. I mean, and the Dolphins looking like they're looking, and we're going to talk about that here today. The Patriots, the Jets, right? I mean, take your pick. And then you look at the schedule the Bills have. After Miami, even, we could talk about it, even though, you know, it's one game at a time inside the walls. It's Miami. Then it's the Saints. Then it's the Patriots at home. Then it's the Falcons. Then a bye week. Then the Panthers. Before they get the Chiefs going back then to the Dolphins and Bucks and Texans and Steelers, which could be a bit of a gauntlet run. Everything is in front of them that they want. It is right there for them. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We will take a phone call here as we await Sean McDermott. Tim in South Carolina is up first. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Sal. Thanks as always for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it.
I just wanted to call really quick. You asked about, you know, fondest Dolphins memories, and I'm originally from Syracuse, moved down here to South Carolina about 2 years ago, and the last time that I was at a Bills-Dolphins game was actually Josh Allen's rookie year when he just – Him and the guys just absolutely poured it on. I think it was like 42 to like 17 or something like that. And what me and my buddies did was we went to the Syracuse airport and we rented a van, like a passenger van. And like nine of us went up for the game because tickets were like $3 in the upper deck. So of course, you know, cases of beer, we had a DD, don't worry, but no, it was just a great day. And got back to Denny's after the game and realized Josh Allen had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 42-17. It was the end of Josh's rookie year. He ran for two. He threw 3. And Zay Jones, 6 catches, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The Bills did a really good job. That was against Ryan Tannehill for the Miami Dolphins that day. Now, the Bills obviously didn't make the playoffs that year. That's the one year they didn't make the playoffs in this regime. But that was a great way to end the year. And again, I think it meant something. Tim, I used to make the drive on a Greyhound bus from Syracuse to Buffalo during the Super Bowl years when I was a student at Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to work for the Dome and loved making that trip. I had a quick question for you, Sal. Who was the running back with the dreads? I forgot.
Ricky Williams?
Caught that pass. No, for the Bills. Caught the pass and took it for like ever, like 50-something yards. And then he had one person to beat, like, at the goal line who got completely mowed down by
Chris Ivory?
Who's like, yes. Yeah. Who was the tight end? It's like Logan Thomas or something like that completely cleaned somebody. I don't know. I got to go back and look at
that. I don't know. I'll have to look at that, too. Maybe. Yeah, Logan Thomas is on that team. Yeah, you got it. Chris Ivory was on that team. Remember Chris Ivory had that long catch and run against the Vikings that same year, that rookie year for Josh, right? That was an interesting year. So, actually, it's funny. I was actually thinking about this. It's funny that Tim called and mentioned that year, that rookie year for Josh, because that is, I'm just going to go back and look to make sure I'm right on this. That year, the Bills started 0-2, and yes, because that's Ravens, that's Chargers. They get blown out in Baltimore. Josh's first start is the next week. They lose 31-20. And then, of course, remember the next week they go to Minnesota. It's, by the way, a very, very large underdog, and they win, which is a cautionary tale here. That's the only time in Sean McDermott's tenure with the Bills, excuse me, they started 0-2. And I wanted to ask Sean about, and I will, ask him about starting 0-2 and having a team that is 0-2, like the Miami Dolphins, come to town and what, you know, they're going to be doing to make sure that they can try and salvage the first part of their season here. Because I think you're getting a team that's going to be desperate. You're getting a team that's going to be throwing everything they can at you. And that's the task for the Bills. So tomorrow night, Amazon Prime, Al Michaels. By the way, great job yesterday. I don't know if you've you heard it. Al Michaels joined Shopin' the Bulldog yesterday. He comes on pretty much on a yearly basis now because the Bills play a Thursday night game. And I think even before he was doing Thursday night games, Al was on a couple of times with the guys. And I really enjoyed listening to that. But you can check it out on demand at WGR550.com. Also on YouTube. We're always on YouTube for the morning show and the afternoon show. WGR 550 on YouTube. Bills Dolphins gets it kicked off tomorrow night. Game time, 8:15 p.m. And it should be beautiful, picturesque football weather for a night game in Orchard Park, New York. We'll get Pat Hammer on at 11:30 a.m. today. He will give you a weather update, game day, game night. I'm even peeking ahead now until like the next game at home, which is against the Saints. And that's on, what, Sunday the 28th, for weather purposes. And that might even be great. I love afternoon, Sunday afternoon games in Orchard Park in September. I just think it looks great on TV. It's usually pretty warm. As long as it's not too windy, like that's what can kind of ruin it a little bit. So when the schedule came out and it was all these night games, I'm like, come on, give us afternoon. But look, we had a great night for weather against the Ravens. We have a great night here for weather. It looks like tomorrow night, and Pat Hammer's going to tell us all about it. If you're going to the game, drive in, tailgate, staying afterwards, a tailgate, whatever. Patrick Hammer joins us for his normal weekly radio appearance on Fridays. We'll do it today on a Wednesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And then at 11 a.m. today, before Pat actually, at 11 a.m. today, we're going to have David Fornes. I hope I'm saying his name right, and I apologize. Fornes. Maybe it's Fornes. I'll ask him specifically how to say it, but I found David online because he's been doing some really good stuff covering the Miami Dolphins, and I've been kind of tracking him and his tweets and his reports this week to keep up with the Dolphins. He is a beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel. So we'll have him on at 11 a.m. to talk about the Dolphins. John in South Carolina. What's going on, John?
What's up, Sal? How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to call and give my memory of the Bills-Dolphins game 2 years ago, night game, Sunday night, came into town, and, you know, they were down late in the game, fourth quarter, starts dumping snow, and Josh Allen just puts on his cape and brings the Bills back for the win. Late in the game, I think Bass hit a really long field goal to seal that one.
I do. I remember it. It's the story I give, and I've given a few times that during the game, the snowballs were thrown, and referee Bill Vinovich saw me wearing a mic and asked me to announce to the crowd to stop throwing snowballs. I had to explain to him, I'm on radio, sir. I am not the PA announcer for the stadium. Yes, I remember that
game. My memory serves correct. I think Beasley came back for that game, and we were driving around before we got to tailgating, and we saw Beasley out with his family, and we were just shouting out the window, let's go, Beasley, and I asked him if he was playing, and he kind of just gave me a smirk and a nod, and it was a really cool experience to come home for that game.
I love it. I love it. Good for you, man. Yeah, that was 32-29, walk-off field goal in the snow. Snow Angels. I think Stephon Diggs did a snow angel there. Did you see the news, Stephon Diggs? Apparently, Cardi B announced she's pregnant with Stephon Diggs. They're together, pregnant, right? That was something that came on today?
Today, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. So, congratulations, Stephon Diggs and Cardi B. But he was involved in the snow angels at the end of the game there. That game, 32-29, very odd score. I don't know if that was, I don't think that's scoreigami. Bills had scoreigami against the Ravens, 41-40. That means the first time that score has ever been achieved at the end of an NFL game. In that game, though, Josh Allen, remember the Bills had to come back late in the fourth quarter. They were down 29-21. They were down 8. Josh scores, and then they have the review on the two-point conversion where he just broke the plane of the goal line before it was knocked out of his hands. Then the Bills get the ball back. They go down the field. They score, and they kick the field goal. Tyler Bass, 25 yards. The Bills win that game. I believe that sent them to the playoffs. How about Dawson Knox in that game? 6 for 98 and a touchdown. There you go. I remember Gabe Davis had a big catch on the drive to get him down the field, too, as Gabe has had in the past for the Bills. Big catches and late drives. Let's go to Kathy in Pennsylvania. Hi, Kathy. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So about memories, you brought back a flood of memories from Miami Buffalo games. Mm-hmm. But I was at that 1980 game. I was 10 years old. The first time the goalpost came down.
Yeah.
The only reason I got to go to that game is because I was the youngest and none of my brothers wanted to go because we always lost. It was crazy. Some guy stuck his head in our car and ate a beer bottle.
What is going on? Oh my God. It doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, yeah, I can imagine. I was a little too young. I was 7. I hadn't gone to any games yet that year, you know, by then. And I could imagine what it was like inside. And a lot of people point to that game, Kathy, as their best memory of a Bills-Dolphins game inside that stadium because of what it meant to beat the Dolphins at that moment, right? That's really what it was. Yeah, there's the mayhem after that's memorable, like tearing down the goalpost, but why did they come down is the reason why the game is memorable, because it's the Miami Dolphins, and they just beaten the Bills 20 freaking straight times.
Exactly. But when I was 13, I got hit in the head with a billy club from a cop swinging back to break up a fight.
At a Dolphins game?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was this guy that sat in our section. He wore a Dolphins color shirt, and he just had on it printed in like 1970s fashion, you know, big block letters. It just said "Muck Fiami." My family still says that.
Okay, I get it, totally get it, and I've seen those shirts before. Kathy, I hope you're okay, and thank you for sharing that story. But I hope everything was okay with you after that, because man, that's a memory. To say when I was 13, that happened to me. 803-0550, sharing your Dolphins at Bills memories inside Highmark Stadium. Now, most of them would be inside Highmark Stadium unless you want to go all the way back to the rock pile. But that's not what we're talking about. It's Dolphins at Bills for over 50 years here in Orchard Park. And the Bills have had a lot of success recently against Miami. The last time they lost to the Dolphins here at home, 2016. That was Rex Ryan's last game. And if you remember that game, the Dolphins in overtime have a big run on the Bills. And the Bills had 10 guys in the field. And that was it. That kind of sealed Rex Ryan's fate that year. The Bills in that game, by the way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Needed to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. And they wound up basically like kicking for a tie, I think it was, at the end, or punting, whatever. I mean, and Rex is like, well, we weren't aware of it. I don't even remember what happened. Either way, much different time period now with the Bills and the Miami Dolphins. We're going to talk about it with the Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott, who's going to join us here next, right now, in fact, on the West Her Hotline.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott joins us on the West Her Hotline right now, a little bit earlier than normal, and that's because the Bills have a Thursday night game against the Miami Dolphins. So, Coach, good to talk to you again, and thanks for getting us in here on a Wednesday. I know the schedule's a little bit screwy this week, obviously, for everybody.
Great to be with you guys as well, and I know it's a short week as well, so we'll do the best we can here, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you about the short week, Coach. Last week, or I think it was week one, I'm sorry, week one I asked you, you know, what's it like preparing for a Sunday night game? Now, I have to imagine game day is probably similar to that answer, but what about a short week? Take us into a short week and how quickly you have to recover, what the message is to the players, the training staff, the coaches, going from Sunday afternoon, getting back off the charter to today and into tomorrow.
It's kind of what you'd expect. It's kind of hectic from trying to squeeze a lot of work into a small amount of time. You try and plan ahead and accordingly, knowing this when the schedule comes out, you do the best you can, but you want to try and keep the focus squarely on last week, the Jets, and then move forward to this week. So a lot of coaches came in off of the plane and staff as well, and
started to work on the new challenge this week, and then we tried to get the players as much rest as we could day to day so that they are they're as fresh as possible heading into the game tomorrow night.
Is it possible to get your full kind of review of a Sunday game when you play a Thursday? Do you do that in a truncated fashion, or do you just kind of have to move on a little bit differently than you normally would?
Well, it's a little bit different. You want to be able to go through the game the right way after any game. In this case, we watched the film on the plane ride home, about an hour plane ride, give or take, from New York, from the Jets back to Buffalo. And so you're only able to get in so much of film during that time span, but you're trying to catch the big things, if that makes sense, to make sure that we can get those addressed and move forward in a better way.
And we'll talk about some of those things as you head into tomorrow night's game. Let's get to the injury report. Designations will come out later today for tomorrow night's game. You told us yesterday that it was potential that Matt Milano could practice today. Will he be on the field today, and do you have any update for him for this week?
Unfortunately, he will not be able to make it this week, so he will be out for this weekend's contest.
How about Ed Oliver, Coach?
Same for Ed Oliver, will not be out there for the game, and we'll see what, for both of those guys, what next week looks like.
Okay, so right now it's just kind of a wait and see on Matt Milano. You don't have any, like, kind of where you think he might be at after this game or at this time period. It's kind of a wait and see on both these guys?
Yeah, so what I've been told is it's too early until they really see how this thing settles in, if you will,
or
plays itself out in terms of the days following the injury, as it relates to, I think that'll have a direct impact on how long he's out.
Okay, let's get to a few of the other guys who were limited this week. Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, obviously two nickel corners play the same position. How are they looking today and for tomorrow?
So they'll be limited and questionable for the game. We'll just have to see how both of them do today and then into the early morning or early hours of tomorrow.
And then one more for you, Shaq Thompson, Coach.
Similar, yeah, exactly the same. See how he does today. We'll continue to monitor him and his situation.
All right, now Jordan Hancock has been a full participant. The rookie could make his NFL debut Thursday night, depending on how things shake out. What have you seen from the rookie throughout training camp? And, of course, he missed some time with the injury, but then bouncing back here the last couple of weeks.
He continues to grow. And, you know, getting him a little bit healthier day-to-day has helped his situation, being out there more, again, getting the experience. And he certainly had a few plays in preseason where he flashed. So we'll see where that goes.
Sean McDermott here on the West Hur Hotline. Coach, let's just take a look at last week a little bit. Sunday, a few days ago, third down defense, 0-for-11 the Jets were. I went back and looked. It's really only the second time in maybe 30 years that the Bills have achieved something like that. A team had 11 opportunities, zero conversions. What was the key for your third down defense on Sunday?
The connection of the rush and the coverage working together. Being able to get the quarterback to hold the ball and also get the quarterback affected in the pocket as well. And that combination of the two worked well together.
And Joey Bosa was a big part of that. I from the sidelines, it looks to me, and we can talk to him in locker rooms as well, he's having a lot of fun out there. Do you see that in Joey Bosa, a 10-year veteran, having a lot of fun out there?
Oh, I sure do. It's refreshing to see a veteran that is so dialed into having fun, dialed into the preparation piece as well. And football is important to Joey. And you can see that just by the way he handles himself.
Sean, you have been a part of only a couple teams. I went back and looked as a defensive coordinator, Carolina, and then here in Buffalo that started 0-2, 2018, Josh's rookie year. And then, of course, you guys went to Minnesota, and you had that really big win when you were big underdogs. Miami finds themselves in a similar situation here. Take us into the mindset of a team when you're 0-2, what it's like to try and make things right as quickly as possible.
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, I haven't had a lot of situations like that, fortunately. But overall, I think the competitive mindset is the competitive mindset. When you have, professional athletes, professional coaches, in this case, that you go about your job the same way, and you go out there and try and do the best that you possibly can. So we expect them to be at their best this week and expect, a tough game.
And, of course, they do have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, Tua Tagovailoa. You mentioned the speed yesterday. What do you see from their offense through two games?
Yeah, uncommon speed on one side of the ball in particular, and you know, you have to defend against it, which makes them hard to defend, makes them explosive, and so you've got to be working well all 11 on the field at the same time.
And then, of course, on the defensive side, they've brought a pretty good pass rush against the Bills over the last several years. Anthony Weaver as a defensive coordinator, what do you see from that group?
Oh, you said it. They're driven by their front, which good defenses are typically driven by their front. So, you know, we'll have our hands full and have to play a complete game in all three phases.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck tomorrow. And, of course, a beautiful weather night. We'll get the final update from Pat Hammer here in about an hour. But, man, it should be another great night to get Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia out there to support your team on a Thursday night, the final time maybe that the Miami Dolphins will be ever coming to Highmark Stadium. So it should be fun.
Well, it should be. We look forward to having our fans out there, the 12th man, the Bills Mafia, and them being in full effect tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Have a great rest of your day, and good luck tomorrow.
You too. Thank you.
All right. You got it. That is Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Yeah, Matt Milano going to be out for this game, so maybe not a surprise to a lot of you. The only thing that's concerning here is him saying they're still waiting to see how everything reacts. The days following an injury, encouraging yesterday that Matt Milano was going to be potentially, as Sean said, practicing today, but that's not going to happen. So he's going to be out for this game, and then we'll see exactly what things hold for Matt Milano into next week. Same with Ed Oliver. Those are the two guys who will not be on the field. Taron Johnson will be questionable. Shaq Thompson will be questionable. Cam Lewis will be questionable. That's the sound of it from Sean McDermott. Of course, when the official injury designations come out, we'll have that for you, WGR550.com. You never know. Things could change after a practice today, after they see everything going on with everybody. So right now, though, Milano and Oliver out, and we'll see where it goes with the rest of the guys and then see where it goes with them into next week. Jordan Hancock, full participant, a couple of days of practice, could make his NFL debut. That might just come down to numbers, what the Bills need, where they need it, and that could be impacted by what happens with Taron Johnson and Cam Lewis. Okay, we'll take a timeout here. We'll catch our breath a little bit. And when we come back, settle in, because I got the yearly history lesson coming up. And you know what? I don't think Joe Cali's ever heard the history lesson. So I'm going to be Teacher Sal, and I'm going to give you the social studies history lesson between the Dolphins and the Bills, why this matters so much, and it's going to be a really fun one tomorrow night when Miami comes to Buffalo here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Dude, he's top tier. You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, you know, he's supreme when it comes to that. So it's going to be fun. Get to see him, get to play him again, and we'll see.
Tua Tagovailoa on Josh Allen. Can't do half the things he does. I mean, he's self-aware and a bit self-deprecating maybe there, but right? I mean, he can't run like Josh. We know that. Doesn't have the arm strength of Josh. I actually don't think Tua's a bad quarterback. I know. I'm here on radio in Buffalo. Ah, Tua, haha, he stinks. Like, I just think that they don't protect him well, and you have to protect him well because he is not the most mobile guy, number one, and he's the kind of guy that fits. Now, I'm not saying he's just a system quarterback, but he does fit the system that Mike McDaniel would run, and that's not working right now because they don't have the kind of offensive line that they need, and their receivers aren't getting open right away either, and teams have taken away that first read. That's what he is. And but he's, I think Tua's a fine quarterback. I don't think that necessarily he deserves the kind of money contractually compared to the other quarterbacks he's getting. But that's the game you play when you have one that's good. And if you don't pay him, you don't have one at all. But he's not wrong there in what he says about his own comparison to himself and Josh Allen. 803-0550 is the number to call. It is Miami week. It's Miami week. Means a lot to a lot of people, right? Means a lot to a lot of people going way back a long time ago. Miami week became a thing when I was a kid. Miami week in the 80s. Maybe it was Miami week in the 70s, because I know that Miami was beating the Bills in the 70s all the time. Joe, let me tell you how this started. A little history lesson. Okay?
Yeah.
Break out the history books. Do people use history books anymore? Like, my son, he's in seventh grade, and I'm like, he might bring home a book once in a while. I'm like, yeah, but like that's kind of weird because the rest of your stuff is online. They do so much online now.
Mm-hmm.
Go online and do your homework. He'll come home, and I'll be like, you have homework to do? Yeah. All right, well, where is it? Well, I got to get on the computer. Was that you too?
No, so my like senior year of high school, that was the first year they started giving Chromebooks to us, or like, you know, the laptops. So I was on the edge of that being normal, but COVID was my senior year of high school, so it ended up being
That sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Yeah, so they don't, I mean, there is a textbook at the house though, and I'm like, do you need this textbook? He's like, nah, I don't know, not right now. And I'm thinking, if that was me and I had my textbook at my house, I better bring it the next day or I'm in trouble. Right? Like, whichever social studies teacher I have in seventh grade, eighth grade, like, I'm in trouble if I don't bring that textbook to school the next day. I'm seeing that textbook. He's like, yeah, down the road I might need it, but everything's online now. So I'm going to break out the old textbook because we're going to talk history between Dolphins and Bills here. So basically, you know, Buffalo Joe was a really, really thriving city for much of like the back in the early 1900s, like a very, very popular city for people to live in, an industrial city, because of a lot of reasons, manufacturing, and especially because of Lake Erie and the Erie Canal and how they could ship things. And Buffalo was a thriving city, like a top city in population in America, right? Early 1900s. And in the more middle type of 1900s, it became a really big steel city. And Buffalo was putting out steel a lot. Bethlehem Steel is a really popular place that a lot of people worked. In fact, at one time, Bethlehem Steel was one of the largest employers in the nation for people. People lived here, Lackawanna, right? You drive down there, you know all about Bethlehem Steel. And the point I'm making is, like, during that time period, Buffalo was thriving. It was doing great. But then, basically, like, the interstate system came in, and it kind of mitigated what was needed from shipping. You can get things faster. So Buffalo kind of became a city where, well, you didn't need to settle there anymore, and people kind of bypassed it now because you had the interstate system, so it wasn't like a place like it was before the roads. So it started to lose a little bit of its luster and decline, but they still had the steel. Well, in the 1970s, basically, Bethlehem Steel, because of the price of steel, because of the cost, because of shipping and everything, Bethlehem Steel started to basically shut down plants. And as we know, you know, today it's nothing like it used to be, and it's not even called that anymore. And many, many people in the 1970s, and I use that as an example of one industry in one place, but a lot of industries in Buffalo. We had a firm called Trico here, and people could tell me, well, they still exist and these things, but they were making wiper blades. Like, I remember dads that, you know, worked there and lost their jobs. There were a lot of places like that in Buffalo. And what I'm telling you is, the 1970s was a tough time in Buffalo. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people left the city. It was really, you know, not nearly the thriving place. And I remember growing up, it was the 35th largest television market. And now it's in the 50s and 60s. Like, you know, it became a smaller city.
Mm-hmm.
At that same time, Joe, the Dolphins were kicking the Bills' ass every year. They're beating them every single time they played. At the exact same time this was happening to Buffalo, right?
Right.
So what happens in your life is, probably all of us now, when things are going bad in one realm and things are going bad in another, you kind of tie those things together in your brain, right? Oh my God, I can't get anything right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Dolphins became like this symbol of this frustration and never being able to get it done and how things were going poorly. It became that symbol for a lot of people in Buffalo. Like, okay, yeah, this sucks. And then maybe we have our football team. No, because that team over there keeps beating us all the time, right? And, you know, the Bills weren't that great in the 70s. They had a couple moments, hot moments, but they became this symbol. And then in 1977, we had the famous blizzard of 77.
Right.
And people died. And it was like this first real famous blizzard that we ever had here that every night on national TV, Joe, for like a week, people talked about Buffalo, Buffalo, look at this snow. It's terrible. Who would want to live there? Oh, my God, people are dying. And they became the butt of jokes. And all of that frustration. Now it's like you're losing your population. You're losing that people are unemployed. And the blizzard of 77 is people making fun of Buffalo. Like Buffalo became the butt of jokes because of weather and because of their football team being bad for many years, I'm sure, in some realm as well. But it was just all at once. And you can imagine that frustration building up, right? And how that would be kind of just all encompassing, geared towards this Miami Dolphins team that beat you 20 straight times and won Super Bowls and went undefeated in 1972. And that's where a lot of the frustration came in. And that's why in 1980, when the Bills beat the Dolphins, this goalpost came down. The goalpost came down after week one, dude.
I've seen all those videos. It's
amazing,
insane.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. But folks, I'm telling you, I remember being 7 years old, 8 years old, going to a football banquet at Pop Warner, Cheektowaga Little Loop, I played. And we would have old Bills, current Bills at that time, Fred Smirlis, Jim Haslett, Eugene Marv, I mean, Lucius Sanford. These guys would come in, Joe Ferguson. And they'd be like, oh, meet the Buffalo Bills. And people would meet them, be great. And they'd be like, oh, let's ask them questions. And I'm not kidding you, Joe. Like half the room would be like, when are you guys going to beat the Miami Dolphins? Or how much do you hate the Dolphins? Or why is Don Shula on the competition committee and everything seems to go his way every time there's a close call? It was just, everything was about the Dolphins. That's how much it grew in everybody who was young like me to just think about, oh my God, like, yeah, you got to hate the Dolphins. And that's why the Dolphins are this team for the Bills. And then they hit Dan Marino. And Jim Kelly says, I ain't going to Buffalo. I'm going to the USFL. Same year. Oh my God, they got this incredible quarterback. He's amazing. And our guy doesn't even want to come here. But then it flipped, right? 86, Kelly comes. He starts beating Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Bills get Levy. He starts beating Shula. And the script flips. And it was just, it was delicious. So delicious all the time. And you just reveled in it and enjoyed it. And now we're holding you back from what you want. And I still believe, I think to this day, Levy's the only coach with a winning record over Don Shula throughout his career. And then they played a playoff game here and the Bills beat them in the snow. Yeah, come up here. You don't know snow. We know snow. Then they played a AFC championship game in Miami. Going to Miami, who cares? We'll beat you. Then we're going to take over your damn stadium too. And that's still today, by the way, right?
It is. That holds strong today. Yeah.
And then you had Brian Cox. Comes out of the tunnel, giving Bills fans a double bird. Has a fight with Carwell Gardner, gets thrown out. There's accusations all over the place from both sides. I mean, that's what a rivalry is supposed to be. That's why Miami Week matters here to people like me. Yes, I know the New England Patriots beat the Bills many straight years with Tom Brady, with Bill Belichick. I totally understand why anybody would say, Sal, I don't care. It's all about the Patriots losing. Totally get it. It was also delicious inside that stadium when the Bills had the perfect game against the Patriots for all those reasons. But I will never, ever, ever have any team in my life come over the top and supersede what Miami Week means to Buffalo and the Bills. And tomorrow night is the last time this team is ever coming to this freaking stadium. After all that. And they're a disaster right now. And it's up to the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night to make sure they go home a disaster. Back. All right, we'll take one phone call here before we get to the top of the hour. Curtis in Niagara Falls. Thanks for waiting, Curtis. What do you got, buddy?
Dax, Sal, you had me wanting to get on the field and hit somebody, man.
A friend of mine texted me and said, I want to run through a wall right now.
Right, right. Well, my original call, I want to talk about my most memorable Miami moment. But you mentioned Don Shula being on a competition committee. 1969, Juice's rookie year. They came here in December, 28-3. The Bills blew them out. Don Shula on the competition committee, it was years before they played in December. I was so pissed about that. But my favorite Miami moment in the stadium was, remember when Marino had that streak without being sacked?
I do. I think it was Jeff Wright who got the sack on him.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was close to being a safety because it was down inside the five when he got him. But I remember when Wright sacked him, he raised his finger up in the air like, yeah! Oh, my God. I hate the Dolphins, Sal. I hate the Dolphins.
You are one of these people that that can relate to everything I said earlier. No doubt about it, Curtis. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yeah, you got it. Thanks. Right. Thanks for the phone call. Have a great rest of your day. We'll take a timeout. If you want to jump on, I will get you on after David Fornes, who is going to be joining us here in just a little while. He covers the Miami Dolphins, and we're going to talk with him about the Dolphins situation. And Fornes, excuse me, I think that's how you say his name. I'll get him on here. And David's going to talk a little bit about the Dolphins and what's to expect from them and where they are in their season right now. We'll do that. And then we'll have Patrick Hammer, but your phone call's right after him. So if you want to hold on, Joe will take your call and you can hold on through David. And then we'll get right to you after that. We'll take a timeout right here, though, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Buffalo's got a spirit, talking proud, listen up. And you'll hear it talking proud, the good life that you share with nice people who care. It's time to tell them all we're up and standing tall. America, we're a winner. Hear us
all right,
now.
So this is a song that was brought about in the 1980s to bring pride and show everybody how great we are in Buffalo after everything I just talked about with what was going on in the 70s. Talking proud, all right? Thank you very much. Listen to this. Here we go. Keep it going. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Wake up to the spirit. It will astound you when you see and hear it.
It's actually kind of catchy now. They had they had whammies and the whammy weenie, they used to call it. Go look it up, folks. Whammy weenie. All right, so I'm bringing it up because I got this on Twitter. Thank you very much. On X, at Sal Sports, we got at Saber Scalpel. Big follower up in Canada. Thank you very much. Says, I remember that era you talked about, Sal. It was so bad. The Chamber of Commerce, I think, paid for the Talkin' Proud commercial to try and win hearts back to Buffalo. And that was it. Right there. Thank you. That's right. That's getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I love that. Thank you for reminding me, and that's why we just played it. Thank you, Joe, for finding that. Buffalo, Talking Proud, a Forgotten Buffalo Retro Rewind. You can find that on YouTube, by the way, at Forgotten Buffalo Tour, and I love that website because there's so much cool stuff. I go back and watch a lot of that old stuff. Reminds me of my youth. We are going to get David Fornes on here in just a little while. Let's get to your phone calls. Or at least a phone call. And if you want to jump on now and wait through David, I will get to your phone calls after him because we have some open phone lines. Bills, Dolphins memories inside Highmark Stadium. Let's get to Mike in Rochester. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Phil, how we doing?
Good, thanks.
Love your show.
Thanks.
I want to mention my biggest memories from Miami games. Took my daughter to her first game, Josh's rookie year, the last game of the season when they played Miami, and Josh went off with, I don't know, five touchdowns or whatever it was. So that was a great game.
Yep.
And also when I was in high school, I was lucky enough to – I was the mascot for the high school, and I was able to go with the marching band on the field because they were performing at halftime. So we got to go on the field, and we were playing Miami, and it was pregame, and Shula was walking out, and I kind of waved to him in my mascot costume, and he waved back at me. So it was kind of a big thing, and I shook Bernie Kosar's hand when he was with Miami. So it was just some old memories, but just things I wanted to mention.
Hey, you know what? Those are nice memories. Those are good memories, and I'm glad you brought up that part of the competitive part of it with some of those guys. Look, I mean, I hated Dan Marino like people did Tom Brady here for being the enemy and so great, right? But honestly, like, I always respected the hell. And, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, folks. You know this. I've said this on the radio. I'm like the only guy here in Buffalo on radio who's willing to admit it, that I actually really, really enjoyed and respected Tom Brady's career. I know, lots of stuff there. Not that I was rooting for him to beat the Bills ever. That sucked. But same thing with Marino. I mean, Dan Marino, I mean, fantastic, right? He was just so, so good. And he's also a tale, you know, people say all the time about how, well, Josh Allen, and they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. Marino went to a Super Bowl early on in his career. Went to one. That was it. Never went back. As great as he was, Dan Marino, never went back to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. You know, I mean, it's just, it's hard to get there. It's hard to do it. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Getting your memories here. Bills Dolphins, final game ever between the two at Highmark Stadium, unless, of course, the Dolphins are to turn it around, make the playoffs, and come back to Buffalo. But the way that they would do that probably would mean they'd have to win this game. I mean, they start 0-3. It's still possible. Of course, mathematically, there'd still be 14 games left. But, I mean, when you think about their path, if they were to do it, it probably would mean having to win here in Buffalo this week in Orchard Park. And, man, if that were to happen, you know what's funny? Like, the last few days, I just said it, right? It is a rivalry. It's been here for a long time. Anything can happen. We know that. But, man, the last few days, the more I've looked at the Dolphins, I'm like, holy cow, there's just it, everything is going wrong there. We have been there at the worst of the drought, kind of been there. That's why you got to take care of business tomorrow and do not let them get off the mat at all. Steve in Buffalo, what's up, Steve?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I was just driving and I was listening to your monologue and what you were saying about what beating Miami means to you. And I just wanted to tell you, I thought it was awesome radio. Really great. Really, really great. I mean, so good that I think you should save it and replay it. So I just wanted to compliment you on it. That was all.
Very, very nice words from you, Steve. Thank you very much. I'm at the age now where I really bridge the gap, I think, between a lot of the OGs, right? The old school Bills fans who were there from the beginning for a long time. Say I've been a season ticket holder for 60 years. To a lot of you who are younger and don't know. And I enjoy. I love being a storyteller. I mean, I took a detour in my life from radio. I was a social studies teacher. I loved being in front of a classroom and telling stories and explaining things. And that's what I love to do on the radio. And if I can help you in any way understand that, help Joe here, Sneaky Joe, the younger people here, WGR. You know, Owen's got his dad, Bulldog, to tell him all about it too. I love doing that. And I'm of that age where I can bridge the gap here between the two. And I love sharing that part of it. And it means a lot. It means a lot to a lot of people listening right now. This game, this team, beating that team in that helmet. Randy in Niagara Falls. Hi, Randy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Just wanted to talk real quick. So I was born in 93. I came up, you know, my first game, I was 7 in 2000. So my whole childhood was through the mud, as a lot of us. But I remember mostly the 2002 December Dolphins were here. And it was a great game, tight game, right up until about third quarter. I think Ricky Williams had us for 250 that game. And then they got a little windier, the breeze started picking up, the snow started coming, and the Bills just took it to the next level. I think I remember Ray Lucas even crying on the sidelines at the end of the game, and it was just it was the epitome of Miami-Buffalo, then the wind shifting, the cold coming, and then they just crumbling. Bills took over. Great season out of the drought years. Peerless Price, Eric Mould's going off, but just wanted to remember that, and appreciate you having me.
You got it, man. You know, I remember the Miami game down there, the playoff game, Eric Mould's went off, right? But that's in Miami. Talking about memories here inside this stadium, David Ferronis is going to give us a call back right now, and he's going to be ready to jump on. But let's get to Brandon in Lancaster first. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
So, first off, I want to say thank you because you've picked our fantasy football league for a couple of years for the order here. But one name that I want to say that sends a shiver down some Miami fans here is Thad Lewis in that 2013 season. I think it was the last game of the season. Miami needed to win and then get some help to get into the playoffs. And Thad Lewis comes in, and I think we shut him out. It was like 19-0 or something like that. But that game was, for me, like one of my favorite drought games, having a couple of friends who are Miami fans. It was incredible just to kind of go watch them, like feel like they were on top of the world with EJ going out, Thad coming in, and watching that game. And it was cold. It was rainy, and like the rain turned to like a sleet at one point and everything was frozen, but it was electric.
You were close. Good memory. 19-0, the final score. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, for sure. Thad Lewis, 15 of 25, 183 yards. Ryan Tannehill, 10 of 27 for 82 yards. Matt Moore came in that game as well. Thanks a lot, Brandon. I appreciate that. And yeah, no doubt. Appreciate you guys asking me to They ordered a cameo for me to draw their draft order for fantasy football. I did a lot of those this year. It was very cool. All right, we're going to go to the Wester hotline right now. David Ferones, he covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel down in Miami. David, welcome in to WGR Sports Radio 550. It's Sal Capaccio. I just want to make sure, am I saying your last name right, Ferones?
Yeah, it's perfect. How you doing, Sal?
Good. Thanks for joining us here today. I know it's a short week, a lot going on down in Miami. I am reliving right now Dolphins-Bills memories inside Highmark Stadium because, David, this is the last game, unless Miami were to make the playoffs, of course, and come back in January. This is the last time the Dolphins will ever play inside this stadium, a historic rival, which means a lot to Bills fans and, of course, inside this stadium going over 50 years now.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You think it's the last game? You're not counting on the AFC Championship going back to Highmark Stadium and beating the Dolphins and the Bills?
Anything can happen, man. Anything can happen. The Bills one time did start 0-4 and make the playoffs, but I would probably bet on this is the last time we're going to see the Miami Dolphins up here in Buffalo. And I know it's different in Miami. I get it. Like, I get the way the rivalry is looked at, if you want to call it that. But here in Buffalo, it means a lot. And I'll just give you a little background. I'll explain. Most Bills fans in Buffalo here, if you're of a certain generation, it's the Patriots, the Patriots, the Patriots because of Brady and Belichick. If you're of my age, I'm 52 now, and you grew up in the 80s, it's the Dolphins, and it will never be eclipsed by any team because the Dolphins beat the Bills 20 straight times in the 1970s, and we never got that taste out of our mouth here in Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I'm more of the generation the same way in the AFC East, and myself growing up in Miami, it would be Patriots, Patriots, Patriots.
Yeah.
For most of my football consciousness, it's been the Patriots dominated the AFC East. And then now as I've grown up and I'm a reporter and I cover the Dolphins, then, yeah, now it's the Bills. The Bills are every year. And memories for myself, because now I visit every year, it would definitely be the snow game, the snowballs coming down. Obviously, last year, 61-yard field goal to win it, Tyler Bass.
Right.
Jordan Poyer committing the penalty down the field as that was a homecoming game for him, his 1 year with the Dolphins. So obviously there was a lot going on there. The playoff game later in that 2022 season,
yep.
Skylar Thompson, who's struggling mightily, he completes 40% of passes, but somehow that game is close at the end. And the Dolphins actually have some of the same issues still popping up today is communication from the sideline, getting plays in, and have the play clock winding down in the waning moments of that playoff game. And boy, it's happening just last Sunday, a few days ago, was a key moment. They're subbing personnel packages in on a key fourth down. They don't have the play call in a timely fashion, and it just looks chaotic. And they have to snap the ball with the play clock at zero, and Tua throws an interception on a fourth and nine on the penultimate drive. So it's some of why a lot of storylines going on right now with Mike McDaniel are popping up going into this Thursday night game with him on a very hot seat.
All right, let's talk more about that here. First of all, I do want to say, I know last year when you were here, I'm sure then you saw the new stadium coming out of the ground. Wait till you see it when you get here to later today, tomorrow. It's pretty unbelievable, actually, the progress. And, of course, this is the last year inside Highmark Stadium. But make sure you check that out. It's going to be great weather, and you can see that right across the street from the current Highmark Stadium. All right, so I guess the best way for me to ask this is very open-ended, David. How bad is it right now in Miami?
It's to the point where it is in the realm of possibility that Mike McDaniel could lose his job by Friday morning if the Bills flat-out embarrass the Dolphins on a short week in a primetime setting with the Dolphins falling to 0-3, and it's a convincing landslide victory for Buffalo. I see it as truly possible, which would be a remarkable anomaly as far as how early it could happen in a season. I was looking it up. The last time a coach was fired after three games was Bruce Coslett with the 2000 Cincinnati Bengals. I know there's been other examples of four games with Joe Philbin for the Dolphins being one of them more recently. But the thing about it is I feel every time the Dolphins go into Buffalo with no one expecting them to have a chance, which like 2022 when that snow game when they were coming off back-to-back losses on the West Coast to the Niners and the Chargers and everyone was down on them on that losing streak. The playoff game with Skylar Thompson last year. The game where they're going in 2-5. Yeah, I feel like every time if those are the close games, and it's when the Dolphins go into Buffalo off a 70-20 win against the Broncos that they go and get smacked 48-20 the next week on the trip over there. So that's the one thing I keep thinking in my head, like they somehow always get up for this game when everything is against them. But if it's a game where they get embarrassed on primetime on a national setting, then it could be done for Mike McDaniel as a Friday morning.
What about Chris Greer? He's been at his job longer than Brandon Bean has been at his job here in Buffalo, and yet really a couple playoff appearances with losses to show for it, and that's about it. What about his particular situation?
Yeah, he's actually the longest tenured, active tenured GM without a playoff win. So that's telling as far as how much he's been able to survive and keep his job. And now, when he started as GM, he wasn't the top franchise decision maker. Mike Tannenbaum was still in his role, so he had the title of GM, but he wasn't the top guy. So then that kind of started for him with the rebuild in 2019. And then, you know, he's given the benefit of that rebuild. You need time to rebuild, and they went through the Brian Flores years. Then as they transitioned, once Mike McDaniel came in, that was a ready-to-win roster. They were going all in. It was trading for Tyreek Hill in the offseason. It was signing Teron Armstead for a high-priced free agent deal. It was trading for Bradley Chubb at the trade deadline, bringing Jalen Ramsey the next offseason. All these moves to truly invest and win in the moment. And then all you have to show for it is a couple of wild card appearances and even one year blowing it when the Dolphins had a 3-game lead with 5 weeks remaining, and they blow it at home to these Buffalo Bills in week 18 on Sunday Night Football. So it's just been downhill since then, not even making a playoff appearance. 2024, huge downer. They then paid Tua Tagovailoa. Now you can't throw money at your problems the same way. Now you have to build through the draft again. So it's just, you don't see GMs go that early in a season. So I think it would be the head coach first. But I'm of the mindset that the Dolphins need a clean slate. It needs to be both of them. They're tied at the hip. So both of them to start, brand new GM, new head coach, if it all does indeed go awry.
We'll see what happens with them going forward off the field. But what about on the field? Why are they 0-2? What hasn't gone right? You go back to Indy, 33-8. It's just a rate from the beginning. They kind of were just net competitive in that game. And then a competitive game last week that doesn't go their way at the end. And you talked about some of the communication issues. But what about on the field? What have been the issues through 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's actually surprising that the defense led by Anthony Weaver hasn't gotten stops. They actually had a run of 13 consecutive series where the opponent came away with points going back to the finale of last season, because the Colts scored on every possession in week one. And then the Patriots started by scoring on their first three long drives in Sunday's game. So it's been surprising that Anthony Weaver hasn't had the defense running a little bit better. He's got a pass rush this year, but still that secondary is questionable. They were signing guys so late in the process. Their two starting cornerbacks right now are Jack Jones, who was signed early on in training camp, about a week into training camp. And then on the other side, Rasul Douglas right now, who a former Bill, who he signed 2 weeks before the season started. So it's just, you're piecing this together very last minute with the expectation that you could have your pass rush make things easier for the secondary. That hasn't happened yet. Zach Seeler up front hasn't been impactful as he has been in years past. They're trying to put some rookies on the defensive line around him that still need some time to develop, a first-round pick, and Kenneth Grant, some other guys they took later in the draft. So that side of it isn't going. And then offensively, hey, so was turning the ball over. He started last week with almost another interception that did get negated due to offsetting penalties. But then he does throw an interception later on. He's taking sacks. The right side of the offensive line is banged up with right guard now Keon Smith replacing James Daniels, the free agent signing, and Larry Borum at right tackle in for the injured Austin Jackson. So that's his blind side as a left-handed thrower. And you have a replacements there along with an inexperienced left side of the line. Patrick Paul's a first-year starter in year two, and Jonas Savaii-Naia is a rookie who has really struggled at left guard. So he doesn't have the protection, and he's making mistakes. Tua is back there with not much time and not really reading it once his first read is taken away from him.
What's the reaction of what the banner that went over the stadium on the plane about firing McDaniel and Chris Greer?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of fans right now are fed up with it. They were kind of teased with this roster, this win-now approach of the past 2 years where they were
close. They were tasting some success for the first time since, you got to go back to the early 2000s. Those teams, you know, coming off the Marino years, the defenses they had with Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and the corners of Sam Madison, Patrick Surtain, it was kind of, they were making the playoffs for the first time since then, trying to take that next step, and then it never happened. And I think Greer was getting the benefit of the doubt up to that point, but still fans were just on edge because they know how long he's had his seat there without producing any lengthy playoff run. And Mike McDaniel, he inherited a roster that was ready to win now and hasn't produced since. I mean, I look at – he was preceded by Brian Flores, who with much, much less talent on the roster – had a 9-8 season in 2021 when he got fired, and in 2020 the Dolphins were 10-6, and those rosters pale in comparison to what the Dolphins had in 22 and 23. And Mike McDaniel, while he did make playoff appearances, it was 9-8 again in 22, just sneaking into the playoffs. And 23, yes, they got in, but they blew that 3-game lead in the division down the final stretch. And then you end up having to go to Kansas City in the fourth coldest game in NFL history, and you get beat by the eventual Super Bowl champions that year in the Chiefs. So, and then it's just been worse than that since.
I remember that year, and when you said, remember the game in Sunday night in Miami, but it really started with that Tennessee loss, that night game, Tennessee loss, right? The one-pointer. That was really when it started.
Right, right. And I'll tell you, fans down here, they almost – wanted to, some of them, a fraction of the fan base, wanted to lose the Week 18 game to not have to see Buffalo 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. But if you go back, if they would have won the Tennessee game like they should have, then they would have had the division without having to face the Bills in a 2-7 matchup, because then the Bills would have been a different wild card seed. So that was really the one where you would then, like the Bills ended up having, they would have had the Steelers, who weren't that strong, just sneaking into the playoffs as the wild card matchup in a 2-7 matchup, as opposed to the much more difficult back-to-back weeks facing Buffalo. But I was against all the fans who said that. You got to win the division. You can't let the Bills erase a three-game lead with 5 weeks remaining on you and then think you're going into Kansas City and winning a playoff game. I couldn't understand the ones that were of that mindset.
Yeah, Bills looking to go 3 games up in Miami early in the season. Now here, 0-2, Miami coming to 2-0 Buffalo. Probably the final time for the Dolphins ever at Highmark Stadium. David Ferones, follow him on X. He is at David, is it, let me just get, Ferones underscore, there you go. David Ferones underscore, F-U-R-O-N-E-S. And doing a great job. And by the way, safe travels here to Buffalo. Check out and you'll see it on your way in. It's easy to see. It's right there. The new stadium. Yeah. And grab some chicken wings while you're here, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I always do that. And I'm going to look forward to comparing last year's photo to this year's.
All right. You got it, man. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you doing this today. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Sounds good.
All right. You got it. David Ferones right there on the West Her Hotline. John says he's a younger fan. What does that do for you here in this matchup, John? John, you're on the air. Go ahead, buddy.
No? Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Oh, Zach, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry. We just got the name wrong. My apologies. Joe must have just misheard you. Go ahead.
Hey, big fan of yourself. You know, I was born into the drought, unfortunately. You know, born in 2000, so I didn't really get to see a whole lot of good Bills football for the better part of my life. So, like, you know, to me, the Dolphins, even though I don't like them, it's really been more the last few years, and it's really not the team as much as the fans. So now when the Bills kind of beat up on the Dolphins, it's been really enjoyable to kind of see their fans, you know, implode on Twitter. And I see you interact with them a lot, and they say, you know, some stupid things. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I've experienced all the fan bases and, you know, the interactions. They can be annoying because they're just like, they're full of hope and promise, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that when you're a fan. They're not like super, like there's a lot of fan bases that just get, they're just angry people, right? And mad. And you can go into that. But if that's what it is for you, and believe me though, I did live in Florida and that can get like that with the Bills and the Dolphins and the Dolphins fans coming at the Bills for sure. So, hey, I get it. If it's not just the team, it's the fan base for anybody when it comes to stuff like that. Patrick Hammer is going to join us for a weather game day, game night look after this timeout here on a, well, we'll call it a Buffalo Football Wednesday because the Bills are playing the Miami Dolphins on a Thursday night here in Orchard Park. Pat Hammer after this timeout on WGR.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Did you see the PGA Championships coming back to Oak Hill?
2035? 10 years.
Do you know what I'm thinking about when I see that? My son's going to be old enough to drink at that time.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what I think about. Like, wait a minute. That's a long time. He's in seventh grade.
Like, he'll 10 years is a long time. Like,
right. He'll be 21.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what it is. So I'm thinking, oh, no. Like, that just makes it weird. Oh, getting older here. But that's, I'm like, yeah, it's 10 years from now. It seems it goes pretty quickly, though, in our lives.
Correctly. Let's work on the 10-year deal.
All right.
Let's go.
Yeah, you got it. In the meantime, a little more of a short-term forecast here we're going to ask you about for tomorrow because a Thursday night game in Orchard Park. Generally in September, you're expecting some pretty good weather, but, man, this looks bang on to me.
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, we talked about this last week. What a summer. What a month. I feel like the weather has been put on hold for the last couple of weeks around here. It is just in terms of, you know, active weather, which is fine because this is all going to change in short order. As this month has gone, as the last 2 weeks have gone, the weather just looks elite. It looks awesome. You're having these cool nights, warm days. Rain-free. I don't think it rains here anymore. Right? I think we've had one day of rain since the month began, and it's going to be another week before we get any. So, yeah, it looks great. It looks really beautiful for Thursday for tailgating. Kind of like the weather today, close to 80 during the day. If you're saddling into a tailgate in the afternoon, we're in the 70s. Mm. There may be a little increase in cloud cover later in the day, but the weather looks great. And for the game itself, kicking off 8:15, probably 70 degrees.
Nice.
Just perfect. The one little thing that I'm kind of keeping my eye on, this isn't a bad thing, but maybe a good little training exercise for our kicker who may be around for a while, maybe not, and doesn't have a ton of experience kicking at Highmark, but there's a cold front moving through during the game. It's not going to bring rain. It's not going to be clouds. I mean, it's going to do very little. You won't even notice it, but it will change the wind direction a little bit.
Oh,
okay. So
interesting.
What that means, so it's not going to, we're not talking about a gusty wind. I'm just saying, okay.
So the way you warm up, it's like going one direction, but by the time you get to the third quarter, maybe you have to start rethinking, and that's for coaches too.
Yeah, it's going to be maybe a little swirly during the game. Again, this is nothing to game plan for. I'm just saying, okay, if there's a prevailing wind that the kicker has been used to, hey, maybe in the third quarter, you look at the flagpoles and the wind's coming from a different direction. So that's one little thing that I think maybe just for experience sake, if he's going to be sticking around for a while and needs experience kicking in changeable conditions, that may be a bonus.
But just to clarify, you're not talking about like any type of wind, like speed that's going to make an impact on the game.
No, there will be a little bit of a breeze in the afternoon. As this cold front approaches, but nothing that's problematic. All I'm saying is, again, as that front comes through, and it's going to kind of come through during the game, it may just swirl up a little, may change direction a little bit. That's it.
Okay, so Thursday night game means, hopefully, Bills take care of business, everybody kicks their feet back on a Friday and says, you know what, I got a weekend here. I can go do a lot of things and not be stressed out about the Buffalo Bills, and I got my Sunday free. What are we looking at over the weekend where hopefully a lot of people can just enjoy it and get outside?
Yeah, by the way, don't tell my wife the Bills don't play Sunday, okay? I'd like her to think so I can have the day off anyway.
Well, wait. How would she – do you think she – is she going to watch Thursday and then think they play Sunday? Like, how do you hide that?
Yeah, no, my point is that if she catches wind that I'm free on
Sunday. Oh, yeah. She hasn't kind of connected the two. Like, oh, yeah, Thursday night game means no game Sunday, which means Pat is not free to do yard work, which I really need him to do.
It means the honey-do list grows in volumes. It's going to come bounded, laminated with flowcharts and things like that. So let's keep the ruse going. But the weekend looks great. Friday, when you wake up after the game, it's going to be a little cooler. There might be a few clouds around Friday. Friday may kind of be what Saturday this past weekend was like. A little cooler, maybe some clouds. But the weekend itself looks great. Saturday, 70. Sunday, 80. Beautiful. And then fall begins Monday. And you wouldn't know it because the weather pattern is going to stay mild and quiet right into the new week and the new fall season next week.
Okay, well, fall does start next week. Can we take a peek maybe? I know it's a little far down the road, and I don't want to put you in a corner here, but I mean, I'm already thinking about it. There's only one Sunday afternoon home game for the Bills, really, through the first half of the season, and that is Sunday, September 28th against the New Orleans Saints. Can we at least take a look at what might be happening between now and then?
It's, you know, we have three home games in a row now.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's no signal. There's no looming change that I see.
Okay.
I got to believe September is probably going to end on, you know, a warmer note. Doesn't mean that we're going to get less active. But, yeah, there's no, like, okay, we see a change coming, you know, just, you know, enjoy this because it's all coming to an end soon. No, I don't see weather becoming a real issue for the home games between now and the next three.
I love that.
You know, not to say that the second half of the season doesn't get crazy, but until then, I think we're going to have to have three home games in September in a row in a quiet weather pattern, in a warm weather pattern, is pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, obviously, the week after that, there's a Sunday night game, and we'll see. I mean, anything can happen between now and October 5th, especially at night, for sure. And then it's a Monday night game in Atlanta. Then it's a bye week. Then it's a game at Carolina. So really, the next few weeks, okay, what's it look like? And then we're kind of just on a bit of a cruise control as far as home games and weather until Kansas City comes to town in November.
Right, and that's when, you know, November. I'll never forget it. The November game before the blizzard of 2000 or the Snowmageddon of 2020. So not the 2004. That was the home game against the Vikings, which was crazy. I'll never forget that, right?
Yes.
That was like the nice weather, the last of the nice weather games of that entire season was that game, if you remember.
I do.
The game was crazy. The weather was beautiful. But then after that, everything changed. That's when November is when you really got to say, okay, we see things getting mixed up leading into the month. But until then... we're going to be in cruise control for a while, and it's good to have some of this, heavy loaded front season at home. That's
yeah, you're right. In fact, I'm thinking back, I'm looking at it now. That Minnesota game was the crazy one at the end, and the fumbled snap at the end, and all that happened, Justin Jefferson's catch. And then right away, it's like, oh, by the way, you got to go to Detroit to play the Cleveland Browns because of the snow.
Yeah, I remember talking with you that Thursday before that game, it was really cold and wet. I don't know why I remember these things. But anyway, that Sunday was fine, and then everything changed after that. Yeah, the snow and crazy. So let's enjoy this September part of the season, October as well, because that's when things get and again, this will be the last season at Highmark where weather may have far more of an impact at home games than it does, starting next year, even though tailgating experiences will always be impacted. But we'll see what Mother Nature throws at us for this final season.
Yeah, and the final game, we think, the Miami Dolphins visiting Highmark Stadium in a storied history here between the two teams. And we've been sharing some memories, Dolphins and Bills, and that one in 2022, you just mentioned that season. Later that year, that was the snow game, the snow globe game on a Saturday night where the Bills were doing snow angels after Tyler Bass's walk-off field goal.
Wasn't that Skylar Thompson? Was that game? Was that the Skylar Thompson game?
That was the 20. That was later when they played in the playoffs. Yes, but not that game.
By the way, I did get a moment in the newsroom to kind of listen to your impassioned vibe of the 70s and 80s and what it was like to be a Bills. I love that. I love just the whole, you know, players not wanting to play here. The people are not living. There's this notion that it always snows in Buffalo. It was just a darker time, and to see how things have changed. And then to hear interviews with Joey Bosa and Joshua Palmer loving playing here and saying playing here is unlike playing anywhere else because you do stuff together and you live close together. And I don't know. I really appreciated that little segment.
You got it. Thank you. And you know what? I'm glad you brought up Bosa and saying that and Joshua Palmer and other guys saying that. I was thinking about this the other day. One of the biggest reasons I've actually heard from people, players who've played in other cities, and they say, yeah, so a lot of cities are great to play in. But you know what a big difference is? in those big cities, you go to Philly, you go to New York, you go to Chicago, whatever, even, you know, in New England, whatever. And it's almost impossible to have the players live so close together, all of them, because right. these cities are so spread out and sprawling that when they leave the facility, each of them goes their separate ways, and they're not getting together. It takes too long. It takes an hour to get together. Whereas in Buffalo, the players pretty much, now not every one of them, they live in the South Towns, they live in Orchard Park, they live in Hamburg, they're all within 10 minutes of each other, and they all meet together. And that truly yeah. does mean something when you experience both sides of it, but it might not until you do.
It's true. I don't think of any other market where the players all do that. You know, I'm thinking of other cities. It's like you play for the 49ers. You live in San Jose. You live in Oakland.
Right.
You live in Alameda. You live in, I mean, in Marin County. Whatever. Pick a city. You know, you can be. You may not see anybody and not know their families or know their friends or do anything because you're an hour away from your closest teammate.
It's amazing. It is truly a job. It's work. You go in every day, and however that is, then you leave and you go home. And yes, it's a job for these guys too on the Bills. But I was thinking about that the other day. It's a great point you make. All right, buddy. Thanks for doing this today. I appreciate it. And we're looking forward to a really nice weather day tomorrow for everybody in the stadium. And then, of course, the weekend as well. Thanks a lot, Pat.
All right. Bye, Tom.
All right. You got it. Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. It's a great point about Buffalo and why, you know, people say it and you don't know until you experience it. Now it helps they win, right? It helps save Josh Allen. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. You want to play with Josh Allen. He's a league MVP. You want to win games. They're contending for the AFC every year. And that's great. But Joey Bosa is like, I've never been on a team this close and known my teammates like this before. And other people have said the same thing here. I've never been in a team that's this close. Well, it's not just close because they're close-knit. It's literally proximity. It matters. And that's how they become close-knit. Think about it. If you play for the Philadelphia Eagles, you leave the facility, and you're going home, and Philly's a really big city. So you could be living in a suburb to the north, a suburb to the south, whatever, east-west, whatever you want to say, and you're not really getting together with anybody unless they kind of live near you. And people are all kind of spread out. Here in Buffalo, very rarely do you get players. They do sometimes live in the North Towns. It happens. Clarence or, I don't know, North Buffalo. I know guys have lived there in the city. Generally, it's mostly Hamburg, Orchard Park, near there. But even if they do live in North Buffalo, even if they do live in Lancaster or Clarence, 15, 20-minute drive, get together at a restaurant, bam. And that does make a difference here. And players talk about it, especially players who've been in other cities and have experienced that. And that matters to a lot of people. And I think it matters on the field. And it can. It doesn't have to be. It's not the reason you win. It's not the reason you lose. I do think it can be a part of everything that comes together for a puzzle. We call that culture, right? It's part of the culture. 803-0550. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Wednesday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll set you up for Thursday, what it looks like tomorrow, game day, and everything going on down at the stadium and here on WGR. Hey, by the way, today is the day that Sabres are in town reporting and getting on the ice. Sorry, I don't know the exact schedule time, if they're on the ice today or tomorrow, but either way, Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams both speaking today. We will have all of that sound for you at WGR550.com. Tomorrow, regular Thursday here, but it's a Buffalo football Thursday with a little bit of hockey sprinkled in maybe after all that, right? But we're gonna have it all for you tomorrow. And, of course, it starts in the morning. Jeremy and Joe, I think I'll be on at 8 with the guys tomorrow, but that's always ever-changing depending on what's going on. And then you're going to have Zach and Derek here at 10 because I'll be getting ready to go down to the stadium, but I'll join them. Then you'll have Sabres Live and then One Bills Live and then Show Up with the Bulldog at 3, just like today. But tomorrow they will lead you right into the game, right into the broadcast. And they'll be doing the roundtable. I'll be joining them. So we got you covered all day long here on WGR. Joe, did you want me to go? Sorry. No, okay. We got 2 more minutes, right? Sorry. I didn't want to do that. My fault. I tripped you up. I want to ask you a question. I know you have an iPhone because when I text you, it's blue, right?
Yes, blue. Yes.
Did you update the new system yet?
I did. I got the beta one a while ago. I wanted to try it out. Yeah.
I'm like, It's a little new. I'm trying to text someone. I'm like, why can't I text? Oh, it's down on the bottom now.
Yes, it's all different.
I got to click the thing on the bottom now to text somebody. Used to be up the top, right?
Yep.
I don't really love, like, you know, getting the new updates on things because it's always like, I got to figure out how to use this now. I do kind of like the look, though. I like it.
They change it up just enough to make it seem a little more interesting, yeah. You know? Change it up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the camera icon is kind of cool, right?
Yeah, it's just the circle now.
Yeah,
it's just the lens.
But here's the only problem. Every app I open now, I have to agree to something to go forward with that app. I open up my music this morning. I'm driving. You got to agree to the music license. Like, dude,
new terms
I've been using this phone for years. I got the music.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Same thing. I just opened the camera. New camera design. A streamlined design elevates, blah, 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 blah. I got to hit continue. Not agreeing, but I got to hit a button just to use it now.
Right. It's a step now.
All right, I'm gonna figure out how to use this the rest of this phone the rest of today. I have a buddy every year. I tell you, comes up from Florida, big Dolphins fan, but he grew up kind of outside of Rochester. Comes up every year just for this game. I'm going to pick him up at the airport this afternoon. But you know why he comes up? Because he just loves the atmosphere here at games. And even though he's a big Dolphins fan, every year he's like, oh my God, I know. I hope my Fins can do it. He says, right? And this year, you know what his message to me was? His message to me was, Sal, for the first time, I don't know if I can support Coach McDaniel. And he was a big Coach McDaniel guy. He's like, I think he's lost the team.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big storyline tomorrow. We'll have it all for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll stay on top of everything going on today. Sean McDermott said Matt Milano and Ed Oliver will be out tomorrow, but official game designations come out later. All right, Joe, now you can hit the button. We're done for today. Sabres Live up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.